We're in the heart of WrestleMania season, and WWE has done some serious damage to its Raw Women's Champion, Bayley. Naomi having to give up the championship, as well as who is AJ Styles' opponent at WrestleMania? Yes, we've heard Shane McMahon, but could there be somebody else out there? And I give my case as to how Roman Reigns could actually be the replacement for Randy Orton. All of this and a ton more right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gave Steph in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, and welcome to the show. This is episode 2 of the WWE Podcast, and episode 190, if you're following along with Matt's Man. It's kind of a simulcast, if you will, of shows. And if you're new here, thank you for joining me. I'm getting the WWE Podcast off the ground. It should be live on iTunes shortly. If you're not already there and that's how you're listening to it, iTunes seems to be lagging, putting it on their feed. But it has been approved and we're getting there. So if you're familiar with me, thank you for joining me once again. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness. You can go to mattsmadness.com or wwepodcast.com for all of your wrestling needs. And if you're into blogs and that sort of thing, I'm going to be starting to do a little bit more of the writing end of it and giving my thoughts on WrestleMania, especially rolling into the biggest and busiest season of the year if you're a wrestling fan. So, guys, it's crazy. There's so much to talk about. And, hey, if you're in the Northeast, I'm sitting here as we speak, February 24th, 2017. It is 75 degrees outside. 75 degrees. Just think about that. It's an all-time record. I mean, yeah, they've only been keeping records since the 1800s, 1860s, I believe. But however you slice it, this is insanity. It's May and February, and I am taking every second of this in because it's not going to last, as we all know. This is kind of a false spring, but if you're in the Northeast, really, or anywhere on the East Coast, you're probably experiencing the similar weather conditions, and it is something to behold if you are a winter frozen chosen type of victim, if you will. So, guys, this is WrestleMania season. And I'm going to be giving my case exactly how Roman Reigns could actually be the replacement for Randy Orton. Do I think it's likely? No, but WWE has a solid story to back it up, and a solid storyline if they want to pull from history to go back to. So I'm going to get to that, and also all of Raw and SmackDown as well. And really, let's get into my theory of how WWE could pull Roman Reigns into the fold here and make him a main event. I know he's going to be likely facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania 33. I get all of that. I still think that's going to happen. But here's how WWE pulls Roman Reigns into the main event picture and makes him the biggest heel of all time. He's going to be a massive heel, whether he faces The Undertaker or no matter really who he faces at WrestleMania. Forget it. Roman Reigns in front of a WrestleMania crowd, I don't care who he faces, is going to get booed out of the building. And here's how WWE does it. If you guys remember back in the Attitude Era, we all remember that Rumble in 1999 when Vince McMahon eliminated Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everybody remembers that one. And The Rock distracted Austin, and Vince eliminated Steve. The next night on Raw, Vince comes out and says he waives all rights and privileges as the number one contender for the championship at WrestleMania. What happens? The commissioner at the time, Shawn Michaels, comes on with Stone Cold on the Titantron and says that, you know, being the commissioner and looking in the WWE rule book, if the winner of the Royal Rumble waives all rights and privileges, it's easy to say, that means that the runner-up then becomes the next in line. So fast forward to 2017 Royal Rumble. Who was the runner-up for the 2017 Royal Rumble? You guessed it. Roman Reigns. So, do I think WWE is going to go this route? No, but it would like to be, I would like to have them a little more consistent in the rules and regs. They'd like to bring back that 30-day defense of a championship or you lose it type of rule when it's convenient. But I can, you know, you look back in history and, you know, throughout the year, there are several instances that you can point to in which maybe the tag team championship wasn't defended, the United States championship wasn't defended, things of that nature. So WWE likes to kind of pick and choose what rules they follow and when they follow them, or maybe make some up at the time that it's convenient for a story. And I get all that, but it's interesting to me. Wouldn't the runner-up be the next in line? You know, like, so if Randy Orton says he's not facing Bray, he's waiving all rights and privileges. Guess what? It's Roman Reigns next. So, that's just my case. I think there's a very slight chance of that happening. But if WWE wanted to do it and pull the trigger, they have a solid story to go back to in 1999 when Vince did the same thing. So, and I know, look, I'm all crossing my fingers too. That doesn't happen, but they could. They very well could. So, look, Raw seems to be the focus for WrestleMania. When you look at the card of WrestleMania, you look at it and go, wow, you know, this is a lot. These are a lot of Raw-focused rivalries built around Brock versus Goldberg, potentially Seth versus Triple H. And I know Seth is returning Monday night, and I think myself included, and everybody, thousands upon thousands of people are looking forward to his response. Does he, doesn't he compete at WrestleMania? I think he does, considering that they continue to bring him into the storyline. He's actually making a appearance on Raw. That tells me this match is going to happen. So I'm looking forward to his response. So we'll have to see what happens there. I don't think he's going to get any kind of physicality in with the game just because of his actual knee injury. Wouldn't make sense. But we'll see. I think that is a lock as well. And obviously you have the cruiserweights, which are a mess, the tag team division, which is unfortunately another mess. You have the women's division, which is puzzling. And I'm going to get to that. So let's get into Monday Night Raw. And I have a lot to say about the Bayley segment, which some people are, you know, they're excited for Bayley, and I get all that. But I think there was a lot of damage done to the Bayley character. So let's roll into it here. It opens with a video package of Jericho and Kevin Owens implosion last week. And KO opens the show. He's sitting in the middle of a ring with a spotlight on him in a suit. He says that the spotlight is now solely where it belongs, and he can answer the question, why? Why does he think he's going to walk out of Fastlane as WWE Universal Champion? He says he was never impressed by Goldberg and knows exactly what to do and what to expect at Fastlane, and says that Brock took him lightly, but he's not going to. He's just going to have to outsmart Bill and not beat him, just outlast him. He says that Bill is nothing, and as far as Chris Jericho goes, and then he drops the mic. Brilliant. I think that very good hook for when is he going to actually respond to Chris Jericho? To me, after Fastlane, you have to get through Goldberg to drop the belt, which Jericho is going to cost him. Nobody on this earth is giving Kevin Owens a firefly or a snowball's chance in hell of actually retaining at Fastlane, myself included, unfortunately. I don't think WWE is just going to do the swerve just to do the swerve. It makes sense, I think, to drop the belt, to get the belt from Goldberg to Brock, which is the ultimate goal, and then Brock to whomever may be his next opponent. I think that's where they're going. Makes sense. And I think it also sets up a United States rivalry, United States championship between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. I think that's the only way to go. Otherwise, you lump two championships into one. Doesn't make sense. And this is the only way that they can go. But I like that he didn't address Chris, because focus on Goldberg, Chris Jericho is your WrestleMania destination. So good there. Frustrates you as a fan because what does he have to say? So I liked it. Big Cass and Enzo versus Sheamus and Cesaro. Enzo and Cass win. And they face Gallows and Anderson at Fastlane for the tag titles. Sheamus ends up bro-kicking Enzo as he's running his mouth on the ramp. I found myself really liking this as a viewer, as a fan. And the crowd seemed to feel the same way, chanting, "Thank you, Sheamus." You know what? I agree. I think Enzo and Cass, particularly more Enzo, has really had their character damaged as well. They started off hot with the Dudleys. They had a scathing promo against the Dudleys. And ever since then, after Enzo got a concussion and the whole Rusev Enzo hotel room beatdown really, really damaged Enzo when you think about the logic of why Enzo was there. Like, you're not supposed to side with him. He was trying to get with a married woman in a hotel room. So why wouldn't Rusev set him up to beat him down? I mean, you got to side with Rusev there. He's become obnoxious. He's not particularly funny anymore. So Sheamus shutting his mouth, actually, it felt good. It felt right. So I just think that there's been so much damage. He's become unlikable. And does Enzo turn on Cass or vice versa? Maybe, because I think the bloom is off the rose here when it comes to Enzo. I really do, at least in a babyface role. So I never thought I'd say that about Sheamus. Anderson and Gallows versus Roman Reigns. Again, yep, I'm not talking about Raw last week. That's Raw this week. And I don't understand how this happens if Mick Foley's back on Raw. How does this happen? And how do handicap matches happen with no pushback from the logical babyface announcers? How does this happen? Nobody even says anything about it. There's no pushback. There's no sense of right and wrong here. It just doesn't make sense. And I don't know how this match happened again. I don't even know what Roman Reigns is doing in there with Gallows and Anderson. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. They're a tag team going for the tag team belts. Roman Reigns is on his way from Strowman to Taker. So I don't understand this logic. This does nothing for me. But Reigns gets DQ'd after using a chair. And they both end up getting Superman punched. And spear on Anderson. You know, they got to find that one female in the audience that's cheering for him, you know, just because she doesn't know any better. You know, he looks cute. He's got really cool long hair and, you know, he's got a great smile and he's got those steel blue eyes that are so mesmerizing. Boy, let me cheer for him. Gag me, folks. Gag me. A really nice George Animal Steel tribute. I liked it. I'd like to go back and rewatch some of his work. I think that he was a larger than life character. That is the way you put it. He wasn't the most technical guy, but he's a guy that during the bodybuilding era of wrestling was able to take his personality and overshadow that with how he looked and make it work for how he looked. So I enjoyed it. And I think that, you know, a lot of wrestlers today could really get an education and go to school watching his former matches. So nice job there. Cruiserweight contract title. Let me say that again. The Cruiserweight title contract signing with Austin Aries hosting. Jack Gallagher and Neville. And Jack invites him to have tea and biscuits. Jack says he isn't playing gentleman. He is a gentleman after Neville said he's just being a stereotype. And it ends with Gallagher standing tall. I liked it. I think Jack he's kind of like the Vaudevillains. I can't think of his name, but one of the members of the Vaudevillains where he's kind of the stand-up gentleman's gentleman, a man's man type of guy, but he's more likable, and the umbrella is a hilarious prop, and it adds to his character and the depth of his character. I'm really enjoying it, as many people are too. And I can't say enough about Neville. I mean, we all know the job he's done as a heel has been, he's overachieved. And so tats off to him. And then, folks, we get to the biggest blunder WWE has had in many months. Dare I say many years? If that's possible. I know that there's a lot of content WWE pumps out, but this was a big one, guys. Now, let me start the segment here. Let me set it up. I know you guys watched it, but I just have my bullets. I'm not going to go through detail by detail, but here's another thing. Every time Byron Saxton says Bailey Buddies, I want to put a knife in my ears. It feels so, it's not even TVPG, it's TVG. I'm not watching Nick Jr. I don't need to hear the awfully casted comedian of Byron Saxton, who's the butt of everybody's joke, say Bailey Buddies. Like it's some feel-good type of character that I'm supposed to get behind. Don't say Bailey Buddies. It's not Blue's Clues, okay? Bailey gets the you deserve it chance. And I'm thinking, actually, no, she doesn't really deserve it yet. I guess the you deserve it chants are the new This Is Awesome chant. It's the This Is Awesome chant of 2017. She talks about her dream again and how she used to be the one sitting there. And, you know, I'm just not buying this sickeningly transparent I'm just like one of you storylines. Everybody seems to, at least half of the promos on Raw and SmackDown, especially cruiserweights or anybody new, has to come in and say the obligatory, it's just my dream to be here, kissing the corporate suit's asses. It makes me sick every single time I hear somebody talk about how much of a dream it is just to even be here. No. Why don't you take the Samoa Joe approach once in a while, who's doing a phenomenal, I can't underscore bold and italicize that anymore, Samoa Joe doing an awesome job at being a badass, saying that he is here to destroy. Not happy to be here. And he pointed that out to Sami Zayn, saying he's not just happy to be here. He's here to destroy. That's what you should be saying. Not everybody has to say the same thing. But again, I'm hearing the same things over and over from these new folks. Oh, okay. I'm just so glad to be here. I'm just so happy to have just the opportunity to just stand in this ring. And I'm just like one of you. I want to throw up. And it's turning me against the Bailey character. On top of this, you have Stephanie, who's, I guess, I don't know, check her profile, folks. Is she still playing a heel on TV? I don't know. She'll let you know, though. She interrupts and says, Bailey says that she knows she should relinquish the championship because it's tainted. She says that she's better than that. And as Bailey's about to hand over the belt, Sasha interrupts and says to Bailey not to listen to this garbage. She pretends to relinquish the belt and then says, hell no to Stephanie. And that it wasn't because of Sasha. It was the WWE Universe. Wait, hold on. A mini rant's coming. Don't worry. I thought that... Look, I've been waiting for Sasha to turn heel. I think it's going to happen because there's more than likely going to be a multi-woman championship match at WrestleMania, probably on both brands, which I'm not a fan of. I like one-on-ones, but we got to have everybody on the show, which I don't agree with. But Charlotte interrupts and says that she's going to take back her title. Charlotte didn't even tell Bailey that she should give it up. She's going to take it back. It ends with a match between Sasha and Charlotte. That's what the setup was for that match. But at a much, much bigger scale, you have Charlotte, the heel, coming out saying she's going to take it back. You have Bailey, who knows that she has a tainted win over Charlotte, saying it wasn't because of Sasha. Really, Bailey? Go back and look at the footage. If it wasn't for Sasha, you would have tapped out to the figure eight. Now I'm talking, of course, in character. I know this isn't all real. This is all fantasy. But when you're in the context of a WWE fantasy storyline, you need to protect these characters. And what's protected the Bailey character and what's made the Bailey character work, if you followed her in NXT, is innocence. Innocence has carried Bailey to the level that she was at and is still at. But now you have Bailey, who stands for everything that is good, everything that is right in WWE, everything that is pure. You have her say, no, I'm going to keep the belt. And Charlotte says she's going to take it back instead of trying to convince her to give it back. The roles are reversed here, folks, and you have destroyed, or at least put a big blow in the Bailey character. I would give WWE an F for establishing the Bailey character. I really would. You had a couple of weeks of her building a bit of a character, or at least showing the mainstream audience who maybe didn't follow her in NXT, giving them an education and a window into exactly who and what the Bailey character is by doing those sit-down promos. She cut a decent promo in front of the live crowd a couple of weeks ago. you know, telling her what she used to do. Is it, you know, she used to be a fan, showing old photos. Great. Okay. I can deal with the stomach churning. I'm just like one of you stories. Okay, fine. Whatever. It makes me want to throw up, but I'll go with it because that's really what the Bailey character is, even if it is transparently being done in my face. But now you take her character and you take away that innocence and you go with the narrative of, any way you can win, I'm going to take it. Instead of doing it the right way, which is what the Bailey character is built on. Those are the building blocks of Bailey. And you take that out, and now you have her just blend in with everybody else. She might as well be a heel. It is a, and not only that, you take that aside. The second piece of this is, even if she hadn't done that, or excuse me, she had won and then relinquished, that to me would have been better. But it's the fact that we haven't even been taken on a journey of Bailey chasing the championship. What has it been, a month? You have Bailey, one of the biggest prospects from NXT, one of the most popular faces of NXT, one of the building blocks of NXT. You bring her up, be Sasha's partner, a surprise partner at the pay-per-view last summer, okay? She got a big reaction. She didn't chase the championship. Really focus on just the championship until the last month. And now you have her win it on Raw, make it even worse by having her keep it, and then do it the way that a heel would do it. With the narrative of, no, I'm keeping it, even though I know it's tainted, with Stephanie actually making some very valid, truthful points as the heel. This was a effed up segment from top to bottom, from a creative, character-building standpoint, made zero sense. I don't care what their bigger picture is, because this goes contrary completely to what the Bailey character is all about. And you didn't even take us on a journey for it. You didn't even make us want to see Bailey be champion. Mildly, yeah. And I know some people are happy about it. But what happened to the journey? What happened to being, you know, taking us on a ride of the scratching and clawing and just doing everything she can to just earn a shot? And then she wins it on Raw and doesn't give it back with a tainted victory? I couldn't design a more character damaging segment or last week for Bailey. I really can't. It just doesn't make any sense. And I'm sure some of you are also on board with this. Or maybe you're just, oh, it's happy to see Bailey. And that's great. I understand Bailey is loved by thousands of people, myself included. I'm talking about the creative of building the Bailey character. You have really damaged it here. WWE has, I don't know if they're just doing this for just a pop in ratings of, oh my God, the women's championship changed hands. And now you have the fact, oh, okay, if this was all done for Charlotte's pay-per-view streak being protected, that's not worth it. That is not worth it. Okay, moving along. We got Sasha versus Charlotte. I think I've said my piece. I make my case. Solid match. Again, these two just, I mean, they're like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They just can't keep these two apart, even no matter how many times they say it's the final match. It ends with Dana Brooke running out to help, and Bailey attacks Dana, and Sasha hits the bank statement on Charlotte for the win. So Charlotte continues to be less than mediocre in her TV win-loss record. Charlotte is just ordinary. It's damaging to her character. Suddenly she just, Raw is her kryptonite, and you put her on a pay-per-view and she is suddenly Superwoman. All right, I don't get it. So we're just, the story is, and the narrative is that Charlotte is very vulnerable outside of pay-per-views. What? She can't win a match fair and square as a heel on Raw? My mind hurts. So let's continue. DDP was announced for the Hall of Fame. So congrats to it's me, DDP, on a well-deserved Hall of Fame induction. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Again, here we go. They just can't stay away from this match either for more than a month. Samoa Joe attacks Sami Zayn again, very viciously from behind, destroying him, talking about saying, putting some respect in his name and that this is your world now. I love Samoa Joe. Just love it. Kevin Owens then completely dominates Zayn for the win. Can't believe the referees even had this match or allowed it to happen. But nonetheless, let's continue. A nice segment, again, to get heat on Kevin Owens and Joe. It was a very good segment. Praise WWE for that one. Joe has been utilized exactly the way he should be. Love it. Paul Heyman and Brock in kind of a pre-taped interview with Michael Cole. Awkward. This is one of those deals that I think looked better on paper than when you actually execute it. Having Paul Heyman speak, okay, Cole flees as Brock stands up, whatever, fine. I just don't think this was a great format of having Brock kind of awkwardly stare into the camera as you have Paul Heyman narrate his promos, which we all know Paul Heyman's an A-plus promo 9 times out of 10. But it's just a weird visual to have Brock sitting there staring intensely into the camera as he's paid millions to do, you know, on a bi-monthly basis. It just didn't work for me. I would have rather had an actual sit down with Cole and Paul Heyman than whatever this was. I don't know. It just was awkward. Big Show versus Braun Strowman. I think I can speak for everybody when I say this exceeded expectations. Strowman's kip up. What? Yeah. It was a perfect example. This match was a perfect example of less is more in a match. The crowd was really into this, and that really helped too. Thank God Big Show kicked out of a botched running power slam. Strowman wins with the second power slam. And Reigns comes out after the match, hits 2 Superman punches, goes for the spear, but gets drop kicked and power slammed. I really love to see that 16-year-old girl's face now, though, the one that they picked out earlier. So here's the thing with Braun. You can't. I really don't want to see 2 things. I do not want to see Braun Strowman lose clean to Roman Reigns. I do not want to see that. I also don't want to see Braun Strowman in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. He's above that. Please put him somewhere meaningful. And the Battle Royal is not meaningful. Sorry, it's not. Okay, guys, quick break on the other side, SmackDown Live. Stay right here. Hey, guys, so if you're into podcasts, you love listening to them, you should really check out the Rogue Millennial Podcast. It's a new podcast where they talk about political, social, and cultural issues that affect young people in America today. They identify with the right wing, but they're not Republicans. They believe in individual freedoms and the right for people to choose how to live their lives with no government interference. They speak out against mainstream media lies and the propaganda spewed out by Hollywood celebrities. They have a lot of unpopular opinions and they talk about a lot of uncomfortable facts, but it's definitely worth the listen. Check them out on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com under the Rogue Millennial Podcast. They're also on Facebook under facebook.com/TheRogueMillennials and on Twitter at Rogue MIL Podcast. That's at Rogue MIL Podcast. Check them out today.
And now, back to the Matt's Madness Show.
SmackDown Live. Daniel Bryan opens the show with Naomi. And so this whole segment was Naomi relinquishing the WWE, the SmackDown Women's Championship. And Naomi's clearly emotional. She eventually gives up the belt, and Alexa Bliss comes out, gloats, saying this is perfection, and Alexa demands her belt back. Daniel Bryan says he's going to give Alexa an opportunity, placing Becky Lynch in a women's title match with her, and Becky, first of all, what did Becky do to deserve this? She lost last week to Mickie James. What makes her the default, de facto number one contender? I don't get it. At least, I don't know. I don't understand the logic. But thank goodness we have Alexa Bliss regain the belt. This was just a solid standard match. You know, it ends with Alexa hitting her in the throat and then rolling up Becky with the tights, I guess, whatever she's wearing, for the win. And I don't understand why Mickey wouldn't have interfered to cost Becky instead of waiting until the match was over. But it was the right move, though, as far as who should be champion, and that's Alexa. She's been great. I wouldn't even have touched her as far as giving it to a Naomi to begin with. So, boo-hoo, the feel-good Black History Month reason for transferring the belt, and the feel-good, oh, it's my hometown story of Naomi being champion is over. I have nothing against any of that. It just, to me, that was transparently the reason, and I'm sorry, but Naomi is no Alexa Bliss. And she has limitations in the ring. There's no question about it. I don't care if she's a mainstay. So that's why she deserves it, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, moving along, Nikki versus Natalya with Falls Count Anywhere. How did Natty kick out of the mirror being smashed off her head in the back? I don't know. But the match was solid, physical, and it ends with a roll up. Or excuse me, I said in my notes that if this match ends with a roll-up, I'm going to lose it. But thank God it didn't. Maryse ends up interfering after Nikki was accidentally thrown into Maryse backstage. So, guys, the case builds for the tag team match of John Cena and Nikki versus The Miz and Maryse. We get more evidence later. Maryse attacks Nikki with a pipe. Then we get a 10-man battle royal for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Why is WWE not making the rules of the Rumble clear? They use the vague, the winner will main event WrestleMania as the prize. So wait a minute. What does that mean? Just because you're in the main event doesn't mean it's a title match automatically. So define it. Maybe they don't want to, so they don't lock themselves in a box down the line. But fine, then say the winner can face either the Raw or SmackDown champion. Don't say main event WrestleMania. Be specific. I don't understand. But nonetheless, The Miz ends up, Cena ends up eliminating The Miz. And then Corbin eliminates Dean. Miz eliminates John Cena after being eliminated. This is the Royal Rumble match problem, folks. Someone who's eliminated should not be able to cause any further eliminations. Otherwise, if you're eliminated from the Rumble, just stay in the damn match. You can eliminate the guy who eliminated you. It just is an exposure of the business. It should not stand. If you're eliminated and you throw somebody over the top rope, it shouldn't count. You just get pulled back by the refs and you go to the back. The fact that Cena was eliminated by The Miz just, it doesn't make sense, but I know why they're doing it. It just further cements the tag team match that I think we all believe is going to happen. It ends with a non-finish of Harper and Dean, Harper and AJ, quote, eliminating each other at the same time, but although conveniently no camera was there to have an instant replay, I think it was probably not used because if you did, you could just see even from the front that Harper did not hit first. So Daniel Bryan determines to draw, so no winner, but says there will be one next week. Whatever. It's coming back down to Randy. It's doing a 360. We all know Randy versus Bray is happening. Now, could you insert Dean Ambrose or could you insert Luke Harper into this? You absolutely could. I think you could have a Wyatt family three-way for the championship. I think that's absolutely possible. And again, the rumored SmackDown match of AJ versus Shane is out there. I really hope that's not the case. I really do. Shane, why? Why Shane? Why doesn't it doesn't do anything? I ranted about this last week. I hate to do so many rants, guys, but sometimes I just feel so passionate about why and questioning why WWE is doing things. Maybe I don't get it. The guy who made the biggest splash in WWE, carried the SmackDown brand, did an amazing job, overachieved with the belt, drops it to John Cena a month and a half before WrestleMania, and then gets put in a match with a meaningless Shane McMahon? Not that Shane McMahon doesn't mean anything, but it doesn't do anything for either man. Why? Because if Shane McMahon wins, well, then it makes AJ look horrific because you have a guy, a 40 or 50-year-old man who likes to play in Vince's sandbox once a year, twice a year, come in and is a non-wrestler and beat AJ Styles. Or if you have AJ win, well, he beat Shane. So what? You know, he beat Shane McMahon. Who hasn't beat Shane McMahon? You have Kurt Angle. You have The Undertaker. You have Stone Cold. They've all beaten Shane. So I don't get it. And the fact that it's even believable, or I'm supposed to believe that he's on the level of AJ Styles, is laughable. Laughable. So I don't get it. Will I still watch it? Yes, because it's name brand power, right? Shane versus AJ, and maybe they can make me really want to see it, but I don't understand the long-term benefits of this match, if indeed is going to happen. I just don't. Maybe they have Shinsuke Nakamura debut and attack AJ or something like that, but I would say Shinsuke is going to be post-WrestleMania debut and build him for a year before they put him in a top-tier match next year. So those are my thoughts, guys. Again, thank you for joining me. I'm now going to be on the WWE podcast on iTunes, also under Matt's Madness. And, of course, the web address is mattsmadness.com or wwepodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness. I'll be doing reviews like this every single week and updating the website as we go along. wwepodcast.com is a bit of a mess right now, but bear with me. Things are going to be changing, improving, I promise you. But I'm getting this off the ground with new audio, a new format, a new artwork, everything, and also likely down the line soon going to be bringing back the live podcast, live show format, and in terms of, or at least through Blog Talk Radio. So, guys, thank you for joining me. I'll be back next week. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Enjoy this insanely warm weather. This ain't going to last. Spring is not here just yet. So, everybody enjoy, take care, and I'll talk to you next time.